Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Let's get right down to what's important. And that's giving you an update for what's going down. So one of the stories that's recently come out at me today was that Mt. Gox creditors warn mass sale could put Bitcoin fork prices at risk. So Mt. Gox Legal, a group of around 1,000 creditors of collapsed crypto exchange Mt. Gox, has prepared a draft proposal representing its consensus on how the exchange's remaining assets should be paid out. According to a document obtained by media sources, Mt. Gox trustee Nubaki Kobayashi released new details this week on the amount of secured cryptocurrency in Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and fiat currency has approved for payouts to the estate's many creditors as part of the civil rehabilitation process. So, to put this into perspective, in total, Kobayashi said the exchange, or the balance of the exchange, is in fiat $629,594,540 in cash. It also holds 141,686.35 Bitcoin and 142,846.35 Bitcoin Cash cryptocurrency worth over $593 million. Wow. The trustee continues to trust and to hope that more of the funds said to have been hacked from the platform will also be retrieved. The estate is also attempting to retrieve money believed to be owed to Mt. Gox by other parties, including former CEO Mark Capellas and Mt. Gox majority owner Tybane Co. The trustee's document indicates that it has approved claims for 802,521 Bitcoin, worth over $3.2 billion, 792,296 Bitcoin cash, which is $124,953,000, and $38,165,664 in US dollars and other amounts in various fiat currencies. Wow. Now, there's an obvious issue. However, there is not enough secured cryptocurrency still in the Mt. Gox coffers to cover approved claims for Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. Neither is there enough fiat currency to cover the cryptocurrency pro rata in cash at current valuations. And it's not yet clear how Kobayashi will allocate the funds when the payout to creditors eventually starts. So far, he has set out a date of April 26, 2019 as the submission deadline for the rehabilitation plan proposal. However, Mt. Gox Legal's plan, which the group stresses is not a formal rehabilitation plan as set out in the Japanese law, also looks at the issue of distributing coins that have been split off or forked from Bitcoin since the collapse, with Bitcoin Gold being one example. Other currencies including Bitcoin X, BCX, Bitcoin Diamond, BCD, Lightning Bitcoin, LBTC, Bitcoin Private, Super Bitcoin, Clams, Bitcoin Interest, Bitcore, and Bitcoin Atom. The group believes that the amount of additional cryptocurrency would be too much for any exchange to handle, and it would be extremely complex to manage the private keys for such coins. What this really means is that Mt. Gox is in an issue because of all the different forks that have taken place, that they don't want to take responsibility to sell this large amount for fiat currency. Now, that shouldn't be the case. They should be passing that to the people who originally lost their Bitcoin. Now, this whole thing is so complex because they can't give back the original amount of Bitcoin, but what they can do is give back the amount of US dollars the Bitcoin was worth at the time. But the issue is, the Mt. Gox itself is actually profitable, because if it did that, the USD amount for the Bitcoin at the time, they would be in profit due to Bitcoin's price appreciation and the amount of Bitcoins they had left at the exchange. This is why it's so complex, because people want their Bitcoins back for the amount that they had at the time of the hack, but Mt. Gox doesn't have that exact amount. So it's really tricky on the right way to do this. There is no right way that everyone makes out whole. But they're trying their hardest. So to change the tempo a little bit, what I've decided to do now is use an extract from Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto's panel discussion. This panel discussion took place at Token 2049 in Hong Kong very recently. On the panel itself, you had Brian Mailer from Block One's EOS VC. You also had Tiffany Liu. Tiffany Liu is part was the investment VP of Ontology Global Capital. We also had Manmit Singh, who is Chief Investment Officer for Emergo, Cardano's ecosystem fund, and Tony Gu, founding partner of NEO Global Capital, NEO's ecosystem fund. So you had the representatives of EOS, Cardano, Ontology, and NEO, all represented on this panel. So here's a little snippet, here's a little preview, here's kind of 10 minutes of the panel itself. I hope you enjoy.
A round of applause. Welcome on stage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Look at all you fine specimens of people, and thank you all so much. Really just a word of thanks, of gratitude to have me moderate this panel. I really appreciate everything that Token 2049 has done for the community, for Hong Kong, and for the ecosystem as a whole. I think we'll all agree it's been an excellent conference thus far. I'm going to be taking control of the moderation role for the next 30 minutes, so you're all in safe hands. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Shane Kehoe. I'm the co-founder of SVK Crypto. SVK Crypto is a community-driven venture capital firm based out of the fine city of London. But it's not about me, or SVK Crypto. It's actually about the audience. You guys, giving value to the audience and also insight how ecosystems funds view the markets. Today's panel is entitled The War Chest of Ecosystem Funds. And as you can see, we have a wonderful lineup of talent, minds, and money. I have Tiffany from Ontology Global Capital, Tony from NEO Global Capital, Brian from Block One, and Mamet from Emergo, building a global Cardano, AKA for you and me, the guys with all the money. So here's how this is gonna go down. I need three things from you by way of an introduction. Your name, what you do, and who you do it for, and you all have approximately 60 seconds to get through that. Let's kick it off with Tiffany.
Hi guys, my name is Tiffany Lee from Ontology Global Capital. We are a venture capital fund under Ontology, and we invest exclusively in blockchain and crypto projects. Our mission is really to support the development of blockchain technology worldwide and to really drive real adoption of business applications within the entire ecosystem. And a little bit about myself, I come from a traditional VC background, have been investing in a lot of internet high growth projects since 2016, and I've been with Ontology Global Capital from the start.
Hi, my name is Brian Mailer. I'm with Block One's EOS VC team. I'm based here in Hong Kong. A little bit about me is I come from a PE background, previously in New York City, and been in Hong Kong for the past year. Block One's EOCC team specializes in investing in companies that are building in on the EOSIO software or expanding the EOS community.
Hi, my name is Manmeet Singh. I am the CFO and CIO at Emergo. Emergo is the commercial venture arm for the Cardano ecosystem. We have a very basic remit. We focus on two objectives. One, increased adoption of Cardano, and two, driving value to ADA holders. So everything that we do has to fit one or two of those objectives, at least. We have offices in Japan, in Singapore, in the US, in India, and we're expanding to other regions and countries as well.
Hi, this is Tony Gu. I'm the founding partner from NEO Global Capital. So what NGC is doing is Singapore Incorporated Fund, Venture Capital Fund. And we manage two funds. One is Ecosystem Fund for NEO. One is Financial Driven Fund. You know, previously I was from banking industry. So I was doing buyout fund. So I buy and sell banks, you know, for many, many years. And I found it pretty boring. That's why I'm coming to crypto space. There's one, I would say, misunderstanding about NGC is that we do manage ecosystem funds for NEO, but we're actually helping many alpha portfolio companies to develop and grow the ecosystem as well, you know, including ontology actually. And I think many projects sitting downstairs have guessed some of my wise as well. So we a kind of multi-chain ecosystem fund.
Okay, perfect. So here's what's gonna go down. If I hear you rambling, I might cut you off. If I hear you talking nonsense, I'm probably gonna cut you off. But if I see the audience losing interest, I'm damn right I'm gonna cut you off. Keep it on point, add value, and let's get right down to business. In fact, it's gonna be quite hard to stay in the game. So, what strengths do your ecosystem funds actually play? Maybe we're gonna kick it off with you, Tony.
Yeah, as I said, it's more like multi-chain fund, so it really depends on which chain, what the strategy is, and we give specific advice, which is all we can do, co-investment together with them. So I think one of the strengths we have is that it's very adaptive, right? So different chains should have different strategy in different region. You cannot have one strategy fits all kind of thing. It cannot be, you know, I'm the next public chain for the world. I don't think that's true. Everyone has their strengths. So I think we are pretty clear about that, and we have a tailored strategy for each project. That's our strengths.
Got it. Tiffany, what's one strength that your fund actually plays?
Sure. With our close relationship with Ontology and our close ties, you know, the projects that we invest in, we provide catered incubation support depending on the particular needs of the project, whether that is technical assistance, that's BD, that's, you know, future fundraise, or marketing. It really depends on what the strengths and the weakness of our portfolio project, and we connect them to the right people and to the right resources.
Brian, from Block One, what's your strength that your fund plays?
Sure, I think our strength is definitely how we decentralize the money. As you know, we have five different funds set up around the world. Those satellite funds are able to reach expanded networks. And so that reach we have through those five funds, whether it's Galaxy Digital, SVK Crypto in London, we're able to get those, tap into those networks and provide those resources when they come back to Block One and they want to sit down with our dev relations team, are able to help build out those projects and get them up and running faster.
Gotcha. Amit.
So somewhat, I guess, maybe a little bit differently, we're not actually structured as a fund. Emergo was there from the genesis of the Cardano project and the concept. So the way the Cardano project is structured, you know, we have IOHK that's building out the protocol. We have Emergo that's doing the commercial and venture side of things, so the business angle to it. And then we have the foundation that's leading sort of a decentralized, you know, governance structure on top of all this. Because we've been there from the beginning, it's not like we're a separate fund structure that's only there to invest in these projects. We are intimately linked with the foundation, with IOHK. We work very tightly together. We know where the protocol is headed, what's coming up, what's not. And that in turn allows us to sort of think of areas and applications and industries and so on where we think we can have some sort of impact. So then we work very tightly within our ecosystem to actually identify the right kinds of projects that, again, go back to the basic two principles, increase the adoption of Cardano and drive value to ADA holders.
I think communication and also having that view is very important when building this, because we're such at early stages, it's so nascent. And I think also the guys at Block One do a very good job from really down bottoms up approach and top down. Brian, with the considerable funds you have raised to date, where are you most focusing capital allocation, and most importantly, why?
Sure. So I think capital right now is being spent a lot into gaming. Gaming's an early adopter marketplace, so a lot of the gamers are looking to build using blockchain, whether it's a collectible or non-fungible token. Those are definitely areas that there's going to be a lot of increase in utilization over the next few months. We've already made a couple of investments through the funds in companies like Mythical Games or High Fidelity. Those teams are led by leaders, and so I think that we've identified some strong leaders in the gaming space who've done it before in traditional games, and now they're looking to implement blockchain solutions to take them to the next step.
Tony, what about yourself? You've raised considerable funds. Where are you most focusing your capital allocation, and why?
Yes, I think there's some commonalities among us, right? I think these things we're focused on two areas. One is called digital economy, including games, and other digital economy, including videos, right? You know, digital content is one of the key focus. Another thing we are focusing on is financial services, which is either is relevant to crypto or, you know, which is relevant to the traditional financial markets by using blockchain as a tool. So these are the key focus areas for us for the moment.
Each ecosystem presents here has a challenge. The challenge also being an opportunity. And at SVK, we love an opportunity. Each protocol has so many benefits to a wide variety of industries. How do you help support the projects you deploy capital into? And maybe I'll start with Mehmet. It may not be structured like a fund, but how do you have support for the projects that you invest into and almost cross-collateralize and help each project out and help themselves by doing so?
Sure, okay. So if the project, for instance, is leveraging the Cardano protocol at this point or early in the near future and so on, then we have not only our own entire tech team that can actually help the developers there to integrate the protocol, as well as help them develop beyond just integration of the protocol across their entire tech stack. In terms of, you know, building a business out of it, see, what I think a lot of people end up forgetting is you can integrate a protocol, but then at the end of the day, there's still an entire business to be built out of it. You know, I've got 20 plus years of doing nothing but building businesses, investing in early stage companies, spent 15 years in China, 4 in Japan, now based out of Singapore. I am from India. So, you know, this market, this ecosystem and so on, we have tremendous access, understanding, and a network with. And then we've gone ahead and also built an entire sort of network similar to the strengths we have here, both in Europe as well as in the US. So we're working with them in very similar fashion as a very sort of active VC would, who's taken an active, passionate interest in actually building the entire business. We're not looking at it purely as a tech play, use my tech, here's a check, yeah. Right? That's very far from how we're looking.
Yeah.
So before we even accept, or let's say, before we invest in a project, I might spend a few months with the team actually sort of working with them and understanding them and getting to know what they're actually building, how they're going about it, to figure out what are all the elements where we can come in and genuinely add value beyond the check. Because the check is the easiest part, I think, for all of us. It's actually getting those businesses up, because what we need in the entire space right now is actual adoption.
I totally agree. I'm at SVK Crypto, capital allocation is only one very small part of it. It's about the community. If you want to have adoption, you have to have that community layer. Brian, the future, what does it look like? What are you doing today for the future of tomorrow?
Sure. I would definitely say that our focus for the future is that I think we all agree that mass adoption is what everyone's looking for, and we know that in order to have mass adoption, you have to have mass utilization. So we need to make sure that the pieces and the extra add-ons to the network are there. So when a company's building a great solution to do ticketing or to do car rentals, that they have a KYC provider, that they have an onboarding for fiat to crypto, they have an offboarding of crypto to fiat. So all those extra components don't need to be built by every team. We don't need their replication. So rather, we're looking to make sure that we are investing behind those great components, the add-ons onto the network and onto the dApp. So we know that we need to make a full ecosystem. And so when that full ecosystem is built, you're able to have those great products. And so that's taking definitely a page out of other people's rule books from years past on how you build an ecosystem, whether it's a web browser or something, that we know that we need to have those add-ons or we're not going to have a great ecosystem. So the rails have been laid. We built the blockchain. The community's taken it. And the next thing we need to do is have the end users, everyone here and everyone at home, actually using those dApps. And so we know in order to get there, we have to keep building the components onto the system.
Very interesting. Tiffany.
I'll keep it very simple. We think it's very important at this time to really settle down, attract good talent, build product, and also invest in good projects that will help to grow the entire blockchain ecosystem.
You know, it's wonderful to hear each of you talk with your own initiatives. And when you look at them, they're actually all quite different, but all very important. And I think by having a combination of that, it's the only way that we are going to do something today for tomorrow's future. So maybe you'll all join me in thanking our wonderful panel that executed so well. Thank you so much. A big round of applause for all the panelists for today. Thank you so much.
By the way, we've had huge amount of subscribers and downloads as of recently. So we're just blown away by that. I want to say a big, 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 big thank you to all the listeners that make it happen each and every day. We're blown away. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. And by the way, we've been putting kick-ass content on YouTube. We have two videos up now. Check them out. If you go to www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto, you can watch both those videos there of Hong Kong. There's lots more kind of snippets of what myself and the team do here, how we prepare for events, so on and so forth. Check it out. Make sure you do. And if you enjoy the video, make sure to leave a comment. They've been absolutely going wildfire in the community today. So we really want to thank everyone for making the time to share if you have already. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And feel free to email myself if you have any questions or queries. CStory, CSTOYY at SVKcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.